May my words be truth and a blessing to your people. So, like the last couple of weeks, there will be some time at the end of this service to consider the theme, which, as Louisa has said, this week is admitting hypocrisy. And the questions linked to that theme are given in the pastoral principles. And so, to let you know what's coming, I'll share them with you before we start. So, the pastoral principles asks, how can we encourage one another to practice deep and care-filled listening to what is said as well as what is unsaid? How can we show heartfelt respect in the way we speak with one another? How can we build open and trusting relationships in the face of disagreement? And finally, how can we acknowledge that we are all children of God and that not one of us is outside the love of God? So those are the questions to think about. And the last time I preached, we thought about speaking into silence, which strangely seems to link to some of these questions, and how in order to do this, we need to be able to see where there is hurt and people being silenced. And how once we have seen how we live into our responsibility as Christians to play our part in those situations. Just like Jesus did, time and time again with people who were on the edges of things. And we thought about the story of Bartimaeus, who wanted mercy and to be able to see. And how this contrasted with the story of James and John, just beforehand, who wanted glory, which one of them Jesus responded to, giving him what he desired. So all of that sets the scene perfectly for today's theme of admitting hypocrisy, and we will find ourselves coming back to the same recognition of the importance of being able to see clearly. Now, one of the traps that we can fall into when we read the Bible is that sometimes the actual words we use stay the same, while their meaning gradually shifts. Like Louisa's favourite one, nice, which originally, back in 1200, meant foolish or clumsy, and then passed through a number of different meanings on its way to the definition we recognise nowadays. As an aside for the language geeks out there, you know who you are, what we're talking about is called semantic drift, where the meaning of a word gradually shifts. And I realise that in trying to get to the heart of these parables, we would probably be up against the problem of semantic drift in understanding what Jesus meant when he used the word hypocrites or hypocrisis. Because although the word sounds just like the word hypocrisy that we use to translate it, there is actually a bit of a gap we need to mind between what he was talking about as hypocrisy and what we mean by that word. So, despite the best intentions though, I got off to a false start because I made the mistake of thinking, hypocrisis. Okay, so hypo means under, and crisis means judge. Well, that makes a nice easy sermon, I thought, since we and our actions are all under a judge in the shape of our Heavenly Father. That will be relevant to everyone. But that just illustrates the danger of being let loose with a little learning. Because luckily I double checked the word hypocrisis in the dictionary and remembered that when you put those two words together, then they actually mean something completely different, like under and stand in the word understand, which doesn't have much to do with under or standing. And what the word hypocrisis actually means, and this is the heart of what we are thinking about today, is a play actor, pretender or dissembler, which gives us a different kind of sermon. And so I want to flag for the record that while we nowadays tend to think of hypocrisy as the opposite of integrity, Jesus will have meant something slightly different when he used the same word, like he does in the passage we heard. But I think my original mistake in translating is also helpful, which is why we've just heard that whole story. Because like the fact that we are all ultimately under the judge, we are also all hypocrites. And I apologise if this is news to anyone, but no one gets a get out of jail card on this one. So we all need to listen to what Jesus has to say about hypocrites. And it's a topic which he returns to again and again when he tells stories about people who appear to be one thing, but whose actions show them to be something else. Like the story of two sons, the one who said yes and didn't do what he was asked, and the one who said no but did it, and the ones who said, Lord, Lord, who Jesus didn't know. And today's reading about the tax collector and the Pharisees returns to the same theme, making yet again the same point as the stories of James and John and Bartimaeus from last time. One of my friends had a phrase which she used to describe people, which has come back to me as I've been thinking about hypocrisy. That one has fallen for their own hype, she would say. It wasn't a compliment. What she meant by it was that the person in question had lost track of who they really were to a marked degree. That they had maybe got into the habit of bigging themselves up or airbrushing out their bad bits when they presented themselves. But, like the story of not pulling faces in case the wind changes, they had got lost in their story about themselves, to the point that they could no longer find their way back to who they really were. And my friend saw this as a very dangerous place to be. The ancient Greeks would have agreed with her. Core to the idea of wisdom in ancient Greece was the idea of knowing yourself. In fact, these words, gnosis, auton, were carved over the entrance to the Delphic Oracle, where people went to get guidance for hard problems, like whether to have a womb or not, and they'd go and ask this Delphic Oracle. And many Greek plays and stories revolve around how we just can't get things right without a good level of self-knowledge. And in today's parable, Jesus is making exactly the same point. So, in the parable of the tax collector and the Pharisee, we are shown two men, probably realistically just about as good or bad as each other. One who knows himself well enough to recognise his flaws and need for grace, and one who has got lost in his own hype, as my friend would say. Who has believed his own story of purity and religiosity and forgotten who he really is. A loved but flawed child of God, who lives by grace, not merit. Two men are held up for our comparison, and Jesus is challenging us in this story. Go on, be honest. Who do you really identify with? Who do you identify with when no one's watching and you're not trying to get the right answer? Because while we are God's beloved creation, blessed and very good, as Genesis says, being a Christian the way Jesus lays it out is a pretty tall order. We identify ourselves as Christian, but how many of us conform fully to the life Jesus describes for his followers? The life of holiness is, for just about all of us, an aspiration rather than somewhere we have arrived or even got near to. And even the people we recognise as great teachers and saints invariably have their dodgy bits too. And so we are all faking it until we make it in some ways when we claim the name of Christian. And this is where we come back to the idea of being able to see. And how it's good to pray for this gift from God on a fairly regular basis. If only knowing ourselves, I often think, and recognising our own flaws was as easy as spotting those of other people. And this is, of course, what Jesus is speaking into in the other passage we heard today, the one about the plank and the speck, which perfectly sums up this reality. But unfortunately, this story doesn't tell us the most important bit of all. It doesn't explain how to see the plank in order to be able to take the plank out of our eye, when after all there's a great big plank in our eye. I mean, how do you do that? And so I am going to try to give a few practical ideas to help with this. Lots of Christian teachers talk about the false self, the public mask that we wear in the world to be more acceptable or impressive or just to feel safe. And this touches on the final meaning of hypocrite, the word Jesus used to describe the Pharisees, hypocrites, play actor. And Richard Rohr suggests that while having this mask that we put on when we meet other people, like one of the actors in a Greek theatre who always wore masks, although having this mask is in some ways natural, the Christian journey is really one of growth away from having to wear masks to a place where we can live from our true selves without having to act a part to impress people, towards a place where we can be our true selves and accept that while we are flawed and have all kinds of quirks, just like all those other people who annoy us, the ones with the specs that are so obvious to us, that when all is said and done, our true self is ultimately something that is okay. Because God loves us as we are and will help us to grow ever closer to him. And the bonus is that usually, once we can accept ourselves as we are and stop trying to act a more impressive and shiny part, we suddenly find that we can accept other people and their wonky bits with a lot more grace too. That we are less intent on the speck in our brother's eye now. I've been working on the passage about Bartimaeus with my spiritual director. And when I saw her last time, I bewailed. But how can I see the things which I can't see? Pray to, she said. Pray to see. But, she added, and I think this is good advice for all of us, don't stress too much about being perfect. After all, it's your flaws which keep you humble. And this is the point Jesus is making here in the passage about the Pharisees and the tax collector. Not only is the Pharisee deluded about himself and the mask that he has forgotten that he is wearing, not only this, but he is aiming for the wrong things anyway. Better a realistic appreciation of our need for God than a delusional perfection any day. And so we are left with the question of how we do the seeming impossible, how to see to take the plank out. Well, as my lovely nun said, the first place is prayer. It's always good to pray, like Bartimaeus, help me see. And I'm sure it's a prayer that God loves to hear, because he knows when he hears it that someone is serious about trying to live their faith. But on a more prosaic basis, there are a number of things which help us to see ourselves more clearly, which is what we need to be able to do in order to stop being blind to our plank and to lessen the risk of falling for our own hype, to lessen the risk of being hypocrites. Ultimately, when Jesus addresses this area, what he does is draw attention to the difference between people's self-presentation and their actions. Between who their words say they are and what their actions say they are. And always trust the actions. And we can do this same discernment in relation to ourselves. St. Ignatius, who lived about 500 years ago, wanted to find a way to support Christians to grow in knowledge of who they really were. And so he devised a way of praying called the Examine, which is a way of drawing your attention to your actions on a daily basis, so that you can consider whether your actions fit with the person that you believe you are or who you want to be. And basically, it just involves taking a few minutes towards the end of each day and thinking back over your interactions that day and how you showed up in them, watching them in your head as if you were watching a film. And you may be surprised at some of what you see, because when we're not in the rush of the day, some of what we do and say and our motivations might not look to us as squeaky clean as we thought they were at the time we were doing them. And if you do the Examine on a regular basis, this practice can be incredibly effective at helping us grow into our true selves and to actually see behind our masks. Another trick to develop self-knowledge is to think about who really annoys you. That person who just seems to get your goat every time you encounter them. Now, it may be that they remind you of somebody who hurt you. But if there's no apparent reason why they rile you so much, then they might be able to tell you something about yourself. Because often the people who irrationally irritate us are the ones who have similar qualities or habits to things we don't like about ourselves. And while we might blind ourselves to those things when we do them, they jump out at us when other people do the same things. And so sit with those annoying things and ask yourself, is this behaviour something I recognise in myself as well as them? And of course, if all else fails, we can always listen to what other people say about us, even if our first reaction is that they are wrong. It's always worth reflecting at leisure, especially if more than one person says a similar thing. But ultimately, for just about all of us, we will come to a place where we can no longer live from our masks. Because whether of job troubles or illness or family troubles or loss, we nearly all come to a place at some point where we just can't hold it together anymore. And in a funny way, this is a blessing, if it means that we are forced to recognise the extent to which we have been living a lie, acting and dissembling that we have it all sewn up, like the Pharisee in the story today, or the prodigal son with his big shot lifestyle. And it's a blessing, because once we stop trying to be that person, the religious, popular, successful, impressive, sorted, superior one, the one who is independent and has it all sorted, then we can start to be who we really are. Which, like the prodigal son, is firstly someone who is so loved by our Father God that he comes running to meet us. And ultimately, which is someone whose identity is bound up with God. Then we realise, as St. Augustine said, you were within me and I was outside myself. Like Jacob, we exclaim, you were here all the time. And so when we reject our true selves and try to wear our masks, we are also rejecting God, who is the ground of our being. And this is why the story about the tax collector and the Pharisee ends. All who exalt themselves will be humbled, but all who humble themselves will be exalted. Because when we live from our true selves, rather than acting big with our little masks, we are also living in union with the life of God, which is within each of us. And that is a glory which surpasses all others. Let us pray. We ask to see the planks which obscure our vision, to see the ways in which we build false stories about ourselves, to see the ways in which we deny the life of God within ourselves and try to live from the shallows, not the deep. And we pray for self-acceptance so we can live from our whole selves and have the grace to accept the whole selves of others.